4. Hallelujah. At least somebody was listening to the offering teaching. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited about coming back Wednesday.
Amen.
Amen. And I know there's a lot of people busy with Christmas stuff and all that. I understand that. This is, you know. So those that can make it, don't miss, because I really believe God's doing something wonderful. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4, verse 1, it says, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through the name or through Jesus the resurrection of from the dead. And they laid their hands on them and put them in the hold. In other words, they threw them into prison. Now, obviously it was late in the evening, so the next day they had to take care of business. Imagine preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and they come and take you off to prison. Hello. See, that might sideline a few believers. A few people might say, hey, you know what? I don't want to go to jail. Well, you can go to jail and have a move of God, because then you get to witness to a whole lot of people that you have like what we call a captive audience. Hello. I've seen great revival in prisons. I was in prison down in Florida, not in prison, but went to go minister in the prison. Just let me clarify that point. And we saw great moves of God in prison. You know, they come, they check into the meeting. They can't go anywhere, so they've got to stay seated in their seat. And then you let the glory of God fall. And I'm telling you right now, great, great moves of God in prison. Hundreds of inmates getting born again and full of the Holy Ghost and getting on fire for God. Hello. We're talking about serial killers and serial rapists. I'm telling you right now, the chaplain called me up one day and said, man, the guys are so excited you're coming. And I said, well, what do you mean, the guys? Who are you talking about? He goes, oh, there's a couple of guys here that have, you know, done some real bad thing. One's a serial rapist. I went, he's happy I'm coming there? I mean, I questioned myself. Am I going to the right place? Hello? But I can tell you right now, the power of God fell on these guys. They got born again, radically saved, on fire for God. I mean, the move of God in that prison was so great that even the wardens would count the people. They would come down the side of the aisle and they would count the inmates. I watch him. While I'm preaching, I watch him. He's counting. And then he gets like a third of the way back. He comes back to the beginning, starts counting again. I don't know if he was getting drunk and couldn't keep tell you what was going on. But these guys wouldn't leave the building. Are you listening to me? They even got me at the back and said, listen, I can't lie on the floor, but can you pray for me? Because I want what these guys are getting.
Amen.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
So let me say this. We should take the fire of God, those that have a ministry to prisons, take the anointing of God and go in there and let's see some jailhouse rock.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Let's see God shake the prisons. I believe this with all my heart, that when revival comes and revives the church and we start to see a great awakening, I believe it's going to be in every area. It's going to go into the corporate world. It's going to go into the prisons and everywhere in between. Are you listening to me? We're going to see crime reduced. I'm telling you, it's happened in the past. It's in the history books and we're going to see it again. That's why I'm so excited about living in these days we're living in, because we're going to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that this world has ever seen. Are you listening to me? Imagine the police having nothing to do because there's no crime. Hello? How many remember the days when you slept with your front door unlocked? Yeah, we'll go back to that before Jesus comes. I'm telling you. Now people say, well, that's a little radical. So is the move of God. So was the day of Pentecost. So was the fire of God. So was the fact that they all got drunk and spoke in a strange language. And then they were on the streets. People accused them of drinking sweet intoxicating wine. That's a little radical. Hello? It's got nothing to do with religion. Religion has killed all of that. Hello? Look down here in verse 7. It says, and when they had set them before in the midst, this was the next day, when they set them before in the midst, they asked, by what power and by what name have you done this? Then Peter, listen to this, filled with the Holy Ghost. He just spent a night in jail, and the next day he gets before them, and they said, you know, what name and what authority do you do this? And he's full of the Holy Ghost. Then Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and the people of and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Now listen to me carefully. Just because you flow with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean to say people are not going to come against you. Amen. And let me tell you who comes against you. It's not the world. The world don't have a problem with the move of God. Oh, you listen to me. It's the religion. It's the religious that have a problem with the move of God. Amen. Because it's out of the structure that they have. Amen. These ones that are questioning are the religious. Who came against Jesus? The religious, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the wouldn't sees, the couldn't sees. And listen, they're still in the church today. That's why I refuse to entertain any sort of religion. Because religion and revival, they don't go together. It's like oil and water. It's like darkness and light. You can't mix the two. That's why when religion rears its ugly head in a meeting, I go after religion, because if I don't, it's going to kill what we are allowing God to do. Are you listening to me? And sometimes that's what you battle with. You battle with religion. And I can tell you right now, I won't let religion get on me. Hello? I said, I won't let religion get on me. Because the moment I let religion get on me, then I'm following the plan that man has, and I'm not following the plan that God has. Let me run down here to verse 13, because I want to pray for people here this evening, and I don't want to get out here too late. I want to get you out a little earlier tonight. Verse 13 says, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled that they took knowledge and that they had been with Jesus. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, where does that boldness come from? That boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. We can be bold in the ministering of the word and ministering of the anointing, because that boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. We're not bold in because the fact that, you know, I've been through Bible school, I have a degree or diploma, whatever. Listen, I don't care about any of that stuff. What do you have on the inside of you? What's in you? What's inside of you? What do you have in your hands? What are you carrying? What's in your heart? Hello? What's in your heart? When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, obviously when Peter and John began to speak, something about them caused the people to look and go, they have a boldness on them that they've never had before, and I think they've been with Jesus. See, I want people to look at me and go, man, there's something different about you. You have a Holy Ghost boldness on you. Looks like you've been hanging out with Jesus. Yeah. Actually, in fact, he lives on the inside of me. The Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of me. My body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere I go, the Spirit of the living God goes with me. And we commune all the time. Ooh, come on, somebody. We fellowship with God like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. The difference is that the Spirit of the living God is living on the inside of us all the time. He doesn't come down in the cool of the evening to fellowship with us. He fellowships with us as much as we allow Him to. People say, oh, God seems to be so far. He's not. He's right there. We're carriers of the anointing. We're carriers of the Holy Spirit. This is the vessel that God has chosen to put His Spirit within. If we just know how to get connected with God, and He's not far, and we build that relationship with Him. You know, our relationship with God should be this way, that if we just say these words, Jesus, I love you. Now, as I said that, I felt a wave of the anointing come on my head and run down my body. And I believe what that is, it's like Jesus saying, I love you too, man. Ooh, glory to God. Have me a little party up here. We don't have to go, Jesus, I love you, 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 I love you. Did you hear me? No, when I tell Jesus I love Him, there's an immediate response from Jesus. It's like when I tell my wife that I love her, and there's an immediate response. I like you a lot. Hello. Amen. I like it when there's immediate response from my wife. Why? Because that's what we like. The same with Jesus. We're not saying things to Jesus, and then we don't get a response. Listen, the only time I don't get a response from God is when I come to God with my own plan. So, God, I've got a wonderful plan. And then I give it to Him and I hear nothing. Praise God. But when I say, God, I love you so much. You're so wonderful. You're so awesome. Yeah. Jesus, I worship you. Holy Spirit, ooh, yeah. I mean, the anointing just starts running on me like waves. It's like God saying, man, I love you. A boy. Amen. Study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at the life and the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was ready at all times to do whatever He had to do. He was never approached by somebody that needed a miracle, and then He said, I tell you what, man, could you come back to me in about 3 days? I need to go spend 3 days with God. Make sure my life and my heart is right with Him. And get a download from heaven. You come back right over here, and I'll meet you here 3 days from now. No. He was ready at all times. See, we as believers have to be ready at all times. The only way we can be ready at all times is to have the relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So when something arises, we know what to do because the Spirit of the living God is living on the inside of us and He rises up. And the Word of God comes out of our mouth. And we decree and we declare and we release the anointing that's within us to sort out the situation, the problem, to bring a healing. Amen. And it's not hard, it's not complicated, and it's not pie in the sky. It's not for certain people. Anybody part of the army of God? People say, army, I'm Navy, praise God. I'm the Marines. No, I'm not talking about this world. I'm talking about God. Anybody part of the army of God? Well, praise God, brother, I'm not part of the army of God. I'm part of the Marines of God. Special forces. Hello. We don't want an undercover ministry. So undercover that you can't even see the ministry. Amen. No, we're part of the army of God. We're part of the elite force of God down here on this earth. And there's not one person that God doesn't want to anoint and fill and saturate and then send forth. Every one of us are going to do something for the kingdom before Jesus comes. And it's nothing that you even have to work out. You just got to know God's going to do it. I don't care who God puts in front of me. Because when they do, I'm going to proclaim what the Holy Spirit wants me to proclaim. Amen. And it's going to come straight from the throne room of grace. Are you listening to me? When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, can people see that you've been with Jesus? Can they look at you and go, "Ma, you look like you've been hanging out with Jesus." People go and fast and pray for 3, 4, 5, 6 days and they come out of that looking like death warmed up. Bags under their eyes. "Man, are you sick? Can we pray for you?" "No, no, bro, I've been fasting and praying for the last, 7 days. "Really? So you never had a breakthrough. You actually never hung out with God. Because if you hung out with God, you wouldn't look like that. You'd actually be happy and excited and rejoicing. I just come out of the presence of God." But most people that go and do these long, these long fasts and prayers, and they have these visions and dreams, and the visions and dreams of, Whataburger. I had a vision of a Whataburger. It was big, praise God, big, huge. I was saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," but I was good. I'm on the 7-day fast, but I don't think God will mind if I just pulled into Mickey D's for a moment. Just give me a breakfast sandwich, praise God. Just one. Normally I have 4, but just one. Maybe 2, but just one. Yeah, give me the double chocolate shake as well, thank you. I remember when my mom would do fasts. I saw her do some 40-day fasts when we were kids. And I tell you what, I never saw food pass her mouth. Hello? But today, the fasts have become, user-friendly. Well, we just fast a meal, brother, that praise God. Well, what do you do over that meal? Or I think about my next meal. Hello. Anyway, I don't even know where I'm going with that. I don't know. Why we gone into fasting, but anyway. So they saw the boldness. Now look down here in verse 16. Well, let me go back to verse 15. It says, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men?" That sounds like religion, doesn't it? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them and manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. See, that's what I believe God's going to do in these last days. We are going to see notable miracles done by the hand of the Lord, and they cannot be denied. They cannot be denied. We are going to see waves of the glory of God in these last days, that when these waves hit the church, let me tell you what miracles are going to happen that cannot be denied. the world are going to have to sit up and go, we know what they were like before, and they are the, there's the proof, and now we see them after, and we cannot deny a miracle has happened. I think we're on the right side. That's what I think. I think we're on the right side. Hello. Verse 18 says, they called them and commanded them that they should not speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. I love the response. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. In other words, he was saying, in your eyes, is it better for me to listen to what you man has to say, or I listen to what God has to say? You judge. See, I already know the answer to that. I want to be in right standing with God. I want to be a God pleaser. I don't want to please man. For 24 years, we've been running around the nation and really around the world having revival. And let me tell you what, there's not been one message ever that I've ever preached to please the congregation. I'm not preaching a message to please you. I'm preaching a message to please God. I'm preaching the Word of God, non-compromising. Because at the end of the day, I'm accountable for what I have, for what I know, and for what I deliver. Amen. And there's a lot of ministers today, what they do is they'll compromise the word, they'll water it down, and they'll present the gospel in such a way that it's palatable to everybody. Everybody can get a hold of a little piece of it. Oh, that was a good message. Well, what did he preach? Well, I don't really know, but it was good. Is your life going to be changed because of it? No. Well, what's good about it? Somebody said to me one day, they said, your ministry is like you have this big spoon and you keep stirring and stirring, you're stirring the pot. I said, yeah, I'm going to stir as much as I possibly can. Because I'm trying to get people stirred up for the things of God, stirred up in the kingdom, stirred up for breakthrough, stirred up for miracles in their life, stirred up for miracles in their family. Stood up to take the anointing of God, go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and see signs, wonders, and miracles. That's what I'm stood up about. And if I come along here and water down the word, and I mean, I don't even know how to start doing that. I mean, my God. I told people I don't even know how to not have revival. Some people know how to not have revival. I don't know how to not have revival. I show up and I think my mistake is, Pastor Bob, I keep welcoming the Holy Spirit. And then when he shows up, he moves. So that's probably where it starts. Hello. Amen. But I don't know how to have a dead meeting. I don't know. I've forgotten. Because every time I come into a meeting, I always tell the Holy Spirit, tonight you're going to move. Tonight you're going to move. Touch the hearts and lives of people. When I hit that platform, it's got nothing to do with the day, what's ever going on. It's got to do with you. It's all about Jesus, all about the anointing of God and the people that have come that are hungry and thirsty. It's about them. You need to touch these folks. And I don't care what God does to you. If he shakes you till your false teeth rattle, I'm okay with that. Hello. If he takes you and puts you in the corner on your head, I'm okay with that too. Whatever's going to set you free. Don't say that'll never happen, because I've seen it happen. I was in Minnesota in a revival meeting there. Pews like this, fairly not as big a building, but the place was jam-packed. I mean, there was no seats open. It was just shoulder to shoulder. And I started praying for people, and I was praying for people over here. When I turned around, the second row, not the first person, but the second row, about four people were gone. There was a big hole there. I mean, I just saw the hole. I went, where did they go? I didn't see the people go. So I went to the guy right there, and I said to him, I said, where did the people go? They said, oh, they left. Okay. I'm thinking, hey, there's some good seats over here opened up for some people that need a better seat. So right at that moment, I look up and yet stands the man in front of me. Now, there were pastors of a church. There were pastors and associate pastors of a church. And there stood one of the pastors right in front of me. So I looked at him, and we kind of shook our heads like this. And he said, I forgot my Bible in the pew. I thought to myself, my God, you should have never done that. And I took one step towards him like this, touched him on the head, power God, knock him on the floor. I thought, that'll teach you leave your Bible behind in my meeting. So I turned around and came down to the front, and I'm walking around here. Next thing, he gets up, and you know, he's well-dressed, and every hair is in place, and in a tie, and he's sorting himself out. And then he starts walking like this and walks across the front of the building. So I followed him. I thought, this is my meeting. I can follow anybody. Amen. So I followed him, and we went up and stood up against the side of the building, and he's ended up against the wall like this. And I went and leaned up the wall right next door to him. I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and he said, listen, I got saved 20 years ago. He said, I went to Bible school, got, you know, saved, and I've served God for 20 years. He said, the last time I was this drunk was over 20 years ago. He said, I'm in church. I shouldn't be drunk like this. So I said, Acts chapter 2. He just looked at me. So then he starts walking off. So I followed him. When we got about right here in the middle, I just stepped up behind him, touched him on the head. Power God, knock him on the floor. I thought, that's enough for the night. I'll leave it at that, you know. So I came and got on the platform. I'm standing on the platform. And he's on the floor. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to what happens. This got me going. I was so blessed by what God did. Because the man on the floor decides to stand on his head. He's standing on his head with his feet up in the air, falls over, gets up, straightens himself, and then goes right back onto a headstand. Not a handstand, a headstand with his feet back up in the air. And then he fell over again. And I'm just looking at this going, isn't the Lord good? You know, they're probably left with an attitude. Well, who's that preacher think he is? Guy's whacked out of his tree. Yeah. Now who's out of the tree? And you know, he eventually got himself together and straightened himself up, and he looked at an usher over here and said, how do I get out of here? And the usher said, oh, just go down this aisle, straight out through the back door into the foyer, and you'll be out. He said, okay. And he walked out the back door. I just left him, didn't do anything. You know, it was about a probably 25-minute to 35-minute period that he came to get his Bible. I don't even know if he got it. But I think at that time he didn't care anymore. He just wanted to get out of there. Now listen to this carefully. Can you imagine? I just love to picture the moments after that, when he got into the car and his wife was there and, you know, the other pastor was there, and they were like, well, where did you go? Well, why did you take so long? You just went to go get your Bible. Well, you're not going to believe this. But I was down front, standing on my head. In front of all those people, I was on my head. There's no way that the guy can get up on Sunday morning and tell the people, don't you go down to that revival meeting, because those people are crazy. They're getting full of joy and they're getting drunk in the spirit. And, oh, by the way, I stood on my head. It's like God shut him up immediately, because he's not going to say anything on Sunday morning. He's not going to tell people, oh, by the way, I was on my head in the front of the church in front of, you know, 800 people drunk and I couldn't, you know, function properly. And I was just rubbing my hands going, God, you're so good. You're so good. Hello. I watched in that very same meeting, I watched the children's pastor. He was sitting on this side of the church, and he came out of the seat, and he rolled. Like, you know, you take a tire and you roll it like this. That must have been an angel, because he rolled like a tire. I mean, it's impossible to actually make yourself roll like that. And he rolled like this, and he turned the corner in, perfectly in the middle of the aisle, and he rolled about three quarters of the way down and pew, fell out right there. It's like the tire went flat. And he just lay there. What did I do? I just carried on preaching. I had nothing to do with that. Hello? See, who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to man or are we going to listen to God? When people say to you, oh, you mustn't preach that stuff, yeah, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm sorry, okay, I won't say that. Well, when they see you, they're going to go, my, you have some boldness on the inside of you. I see God, I see Jesus all over you. Hello? See, let's not try to conform God into a box and think this is the way God's going to operate and this is the way he's going to work and he's going to work in our mind frame and things we can understand. God's going to do some things that we have no clue about. In the natural, it's kind of crazy for educated people to come into church and sit there on a Sunday night and laugh uncontrollably. In the natural, it's a little crazy. But in actual fact, it's normal. Joy is normal. Depression is abnormal. The world twisted around and want us to be depressed and then give us some medication to get us out of depression. When Jesus already has medication for us, it's called the joy of the Lord. Laughter is like a medicine. Have some medication. Have a double dose tonight. Overdose tonight if you can. Because you might need those after effects tomorrow morning. When you get up and your car won't car and your dog won't dog. Hello. You might need that joy. You might need to pull on the joy that you got here tonight. Come on now. Is it better that we listen to man or is it better that we listen to God? You judge. Is it better that we obey the denomination? Or is it better that we obey God? You judge. Is it better that we compromise the word and water it down so it's palatable to everybody? Or is it better that we just preach and teach the word of God and let the Holy Spirit take this and set people free? You judge. You know, I don't see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus compromised for me. He didn't compromise on the cross either. And he went to hell for me. He didn't compromise hell. He didn't say, look, I'll go as far as the cross, but hell, I ain't going there. No, he did it all. He completed the work at Calvary. Why? So that I can be free, so that I can be blessed, so that I can be prosperous, so that I can be healed. So that today I can walk and live with the anointing and the presence and the power of God upon me. Jesus did all of that on the cross of Calvary for me and for you. And never compromised a moment. Glory to God. Come on now. So what gives us the privilege to compromise the word, if you want to call it that? People say, man, sometimes you look a little cross when you preach. No, I'm just passionate about what I'm preaching on. Do you want me to preach like this all the time? I can't even talk. My lips won't even move. I'm just passionate about what I'm preaching about for things, Jesus. See, I'm going to sound like a crazy guy if I talk like this all the time. I'm not mad about nothing. I'm excited about everything. I'm just passionate. I want to see people get set free. I want to see God raise you up. My God, if God can raise up people out of these meetings and you shake a whole city for Jesus, wouldn't that be amazing? There's been enough people coming through these meetings that we could shake the whole of Fort Worth. Okay, let me back wind that. Let me try that again. There's been enough people coming through these meetings that we could shake the whole of Fort Worth. You know, on the day of Pentecost, there were only 120 people. Look what happened with them. Imagine us getting all on fire for God and carrying this anointing. And then signs, wonders, and miracles. All you've got to do is go out there and start a fire. Holy Ghost fire. I want to clarify that. We've got some police back there. Holy Ghost fire. Amen. That's all it takes. And then suddenly that fire ignites other people. And then they go out and they ignite other people. And it just goes on and on and on. I'm going to just jump down over here. Let's go down to verse 29. So the disciples went and got around the company of the other disciples. And here's what they prayed. They said, Lord, verse 29, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Well, that's what they did. They spoke with boldness, but they still prayed when they got around the other believers and said, God, give us boldness to speak and decree and declare your word. Even though they saw Peter and John with boldness, they still prayed for more. God, give us boldness. God, give us boldness. God, give us boldness. It's a Holy Ghost boldness. It's not arrogance. It's a Holy Ghost boldness. When you decree and declare boldness that comes from a heaven, let me tell you what, signs, wonders, and miracles happen. People get blessed and set free because you're bold. And you're bold by the Spirit. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Now, verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I like a little shaking. I like a little bit of shaking. I pray God shake us. When they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Listen, these are disciples that are already filled. Yet when they prayed, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So even though we're filled, we can get filled some more. And filled some more. Even though we have a boldness on the inside of us, we can pray and ask God to give us more boldness. Lord, give us more boldness. Give us more anointing. Let us be a greater impact. We want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants to fill us. Say, well, praise God, I'm already filled. We'll have some more. Maybe we can get you to overflow. I met some Christians. They said, listen, we've been there. We've done this, man. We've been there, done that. I'm like, I can see that. Now, if you were still doing it, then we would see that too. Hello? I never want to compromise the Word of God. I never want to compromise the anointing. And I cry out to God all the time. I'm crying out for more. God, give us more. God, send more. God, we've got to have more. God, you've got to come change us. God, you've got to set us free. I don't care how many times God's changed my life. I continually cry out to Him, God, change me some more. I say, God, if there's anything in my heart that you didn't put there, you take it out. I prayed God over the years to come shake our ministry. And there's times where I say, God, I don't think I'm ready for a shaking, but come shake. And I tell you what, God shows up and He shakes. And stuff that shouldn't be there falls by the wayside. Stuff that is covered up, God exposes. And we can deal with that by the Spirit. And then God cleans the house and we move on some more. You listen to me. Because sometimes you don't know what people are getting up to behind closed doors. So I just say, God, come bring a shaking. Because nothing we do ever must ever be built on man's ideas and man's plans and man's structures. But everything we do must be built upon the Word of God and upon the anointing of God. So when the wave of the Spirit of God comes, He's not going to shake the foundation that He's already built, but He's going to build upon it. But there will be churches in these last days that will close their doors when the shaking of God comes, when the fire of God falls in the church. There are going to be churches, even around the Metroplex, that are built on man's plans, man's ideas, and man's structures. It's man's foundation. When God comes in there, He's going to shake that whole thing loose. Hello. I'm telling you, you watch and see. But that which is built upon the solid rock, the Word of God, the revelation of the Word, it's not going to be shaken at all. And upon that revelation, God's going to build the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hello. So I can tell you right now, I'm excited. And I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm actually, I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to close with this, and then we're going to pray for people. But let me say this. I'm actually surprised that we haven't seen a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you know, like a wave coming this year of 2016. Now, the year's not over yet, but let me just say this. I'm actually surprised because I feel in my spirit we are so close. We are so close. And if we don't see that wave hit us by the end of 2016, I'm telling you right now, 2017 is going to be off the chain. And those that were a part of the 90s, the revivals in the 90s, let me tell you what God's about to do, it's going to pale what happened in the 90s. I mean, it's going to be so way over the top. And yes, joy will be a part of that in more ways than one. But joy will be a part of that. Hello. There's not a new wave coming. No joy. But I believe there's a wave of prosperity coming. There's a wave of supernatural miracles coming. And there's a wave of a great awakening coming to the world. But God's got to deal in the church. God's got to get us ready for what He wants to do out there. That fire that fell on the day of Pentecost is still falling today. And it's going to continue to fall until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment. Maybe you've come into this place tonight. Maybe you have never given your heart to Jesus. Maybe you think we're crazy. And we are. We're crazy about Jesus. We love the Lord with all of our heart. Maybe you've come into this place. Maybe you have given your heart to the Lord, but you're not serving Him like you should be. Maybe you've come into this place and given your heart to the Lord, but the devil keeps lying to you, telling you you're not saved. You can make sure of your salvation. You can rededicate your life tonight and make a fresh start. What a great way to end 2016, by making sure that your life is right with God. So when we step over into 2017, you're ready to run with whatever God has for you. I don't know where you are with God tonight. I have no clue. Only God knows and you know. God might be tugging at your heart. Listen, He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. This has got nothing to do with your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your friends, your children. This has got to do with you and God Almighty. People say, I don't want to be embarrassed. Listen, if you think this is embarrassment, this ain't embarrassment. I'd rather make right with God down yonder on this earth than have to stand before Him one day and my life is not right. Are you listening to me? Because that's going to be more than an embarrassment. We're talking about eternity. If there be anyone here this evening, I want to give you an opportunity to make right. Either give your heart to Jesus, rededicate your life, or make sure of your salvation. If there be anyone in this place tonight, the that you know God is speaking to your heart right now, just slip your hand up quickly and then take it back down. Anybody? Is there anybody here this evening? Anybody here this evening? Quickly. Just slip up your hand quickly. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. I'd rather give the invitation than make sure than not give the invitation and somebody's life is not right with God. It's going to come a stirring in the body of Christ. We've got to go and win the lost. Bring them into the house of God. Bring them in here. Even those that get born again on the streets, bring them into the meetings. Because here's the thing. See, even coming down to the front and making, you know, a fresh commitment right down, it's part of what we do. And it's good. And apart from that, we need to inject the Word of God into these folks. Give them a good foundation that they never stray from their faith ever. Amen. Let's just raise our right hand to heaven right now. Father, I pray for every person that's in this place that, Lord, they become super soul winners, Lord. Full of the boldness of God, full of the boldness of Jesus, that they can go forth, stretch forth that hand to heal. So signs and wonders and miracles are done. And Lord, even when people look at them, they go, "My, I see you've been with Jesus. My, I see boldness upon you. Man, you look so different. There's something about you. There's an anointing on you. There's the presence of God upon you." Let us be carriers of your presence and your glory and your anointing everywhere we go. Let us become witnesses, Lord, in the highways and the byways, in the restaurants, in the coffee houses, on the streets, in the shopping malls. Let us tell others about Jesus. Let there be such a stirring in our spirit. Father, I pray for this church, Lord, that you bring the lost into this place. From the north, the south, the east, and the west. Bring in the lost, Lord, because in this house there's always an opportunity for the lost to be saved. Holy Spirit, draw them into this place that we may see hundreds upon hundreds of people being saved right here in this building by the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. We give you honor and praise, Lord. We give you honor and praise, Jesus. We give you honor and praise, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's get stirred up, folks. How many of you have a neighbor that is unsaved? How many of you know a neighbor that's unsaved? How many of you have friends that are unsaved? Just listen, invite them Wednesday night. Tell them there's this, because I'm from Africa. Tell them there's this albino African here. Tell them that he talks funny. And you've got to come see this guy. Just, you know, we had a pastor back in South Africa, one of our pastors when we were growing up, and they said, use any bait, even if it stinks. Amen. So just tell him, come. You got to come see this African. He's crazy. I'm okay with it. Amen. Just remember, I'm not crazy up here. I'm crazy about Jesus. Amen. But let's bring the lost in. Let's bring them in. Let's invite them to come. Amen. You know. Listen, and I'm going to pray for people right now. But let me say this: the ones that run out the door are the ones that have religion. The sinner, the one that's desperate, that's in need, will not go. They will stay. They will get saved. They will be in the line, and God will touch him by his power. Will you listen to me? The sinner's not the one running out the door going, "I'm out of here." It's the religious. Hello. Because they don't like the freedom that God brings in a meeting. They don't like that. They like the structure. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, isn't the Lord good? How many of you need a touch of heaven? How many of you want prayer this evening? Who doesn't want prayer this evening? don't want prayer. You do not want prayer. You don't want prayer. You raised your hand. You don't want prayer. You do want prayer. You raised your hand. I said, who doesn't want prayer? And you raised your hand. I saw you. Did you see her? She raised her hand. She said she don't want prayer. Is there anybody that doesn't want prayer? You don't want prayer. Just slip your hand up quickly. Oh, it's okay with me. I just want to see you all. Because if you raised your hand, I'm coming to pray for you right now. All right, so all of those that do want prayer, stand to your feet. If you don't want prayer, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet in this church means get out of the pew and get down to the front as quickly as you can. That's what stand to your feet means. Touch of heaven. I'm not going to leave this place the same way I came, but I'm going to leave changed by your power, by your anointing, and by your glory. I'm hungry for more of you, Jesus. I'm hungry for more of you, Jesus. I'm hungry for more of you, Lord. I'm hungry for more of you. Let's start down and go that way.
Holy Spirit,
lift your hands to heaven. Get ready to receive. Father, I thank you for the touch of heaven right now. Let a fresh fire fall upon every hungry person, Lord. A fresh fire and a fresh anointing, Lord, upon every hungry person, Jesus. A fresh fire and a fresh anointing. That's there right now. In Jesus' mighty name.
Holy Spirit.
Jesus' mighty name. Ho! Let your belly
come
in. Living water. Jesus' mighty name.
This place of
mighty name,
Father,
Jesus' mighty name,
of mercy,
Jesus' mighty name, fire of the Holy Ghost,
thou art
right now, right now. Take it, baby, it's yours. Take it, it's yours. That's the power.
Thou art welcome in this place.